Welcome back, one and all, to the best seat at the track. You know it is the Front Stretch Podcast. I'm your host, Davey Siegel. We got Adam Cheek on the show with us this week to talk Las Vegas, preview Phoenix, and talk about that win in Sin City by Mr. Alex Bowman. And what do you know? The man himself is on the show. Alex Bowman is our guest this week. Cannot wait to chat with him about his curse, the fact that he's so lucky, apparently, and so much more. Let's get this episode started.
Boogity, boogity, boogity! Let's go racing, boys!
Green flag is out on the podcast this week. Alex Bowman lucks into a big win in Sin City. Adam Cheek, it was all luck. No skill, right? Completely backed into that one.
Well, it's good to see Bowman continuing his trend of hilarious t-shirts after pretty much every single win. And Bowman's been the guy the last year and a half. They called him the closer on Sunday. If he wants to inherit that moniker from Harvick, so be it. He's just in the right spot at the right time. It felt a lot like Pocono last year, where Larson's leading late in the race. He has something happen. Bowman takes the win. This was more of a battle between the two, but Vegas was a really fun race overall. And those final two laps kind of encapsulated how fun the racing's been. Because Vegas, I talked about, I think on the stock car scoop, about how it's our first like normal race of the year. Clash of the Coliseum's a new track. Daytona's a wild card. Auto Club we haven't been to in a couple of years. So Vegas was kind of normal, but I think it sets the tone for what we're going to see at these tracks. And I'm excited to see how the rest of the year plays out. That was a really fun battle to end things.
I hope you're right, and I agree with you. It was a fun battle at the end. It was between the two Hendrick Motorsports teammates who took two tires to leapfrog the Joe Gibbs Racing duo of Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., and then Trackhouse's Ross Chastain. Were you surprised that the two-tire call worked out as well as it did? Because Bowman and Greg Ives themselves were even a little bit surprised.
I was a little bit, because so often we've seen four tires just completely surpass two tires. And it makes me wonder if it's something with the new car or if it's just that Hendrick wall that Busch and Truex and Chastain were behind was so, I mean, they were side by side the entire two laps, which
I think it's probably both.
Yeah. It's probably a testament to the way the car is. And, you know, it was a great battle for all intents and purposes. You know, Busch and Truex and Chastain, obviously a lot of frustration there. If things had stayed green, it was probably Busch. Maybe Truex might have gotten a run on him. But I think it's a little bit of both, but primarily that it was the Hendrick wall that they just could not get off of one another. And maybe if they got in single file, Kyle might have been able to make a move. But yeah, a little bit of both. Let's go with that.
Well, we understand those comments that Kyle Busch did make after the race on his radio were, A, not necessarily private, but they weren't in a public broadcast television interview forum, and B, that's Kyle. That's KFB. That's what makes him him. That's why he's so loved. That's why Absolutely. He's so vilified. And those were heat of the moment, no doubt. You're never going to be happy when you lose a race and you think you had it in the bag, especially if you're Kyle Busch, especially if it's your home track, especially if it's this new car and you're not fully adjusted to it yet. I, for one, chalked those comments up to being just heat of the moment, upset that you didn't win right then and there. Do you feel the same way?
No, absolutely, because they had Joe Gibbs Racing and Alex Bowman were at odds at Martinsville last year with Hamlin having his issues with him. And I'm sure those were in Kyle's mind a little bit, but it's just, like you said, home track, trying to get his first win in the new car, finally seeming to, honestly, Gibbs as a whole, seeming to have a race where they finally
And it's just
adjusted.
Kyle. Like that's
exactly.
Him.
Yeah. It's Kyle. That's the way there's that famous clip from like 2010 with him yelling at Jimmy over the radio. And he sounds the exact same as he did then. That's him. That's what you expect on the radio from the 18.
Yeah. Totally Kyle. Do you remember that from the Amanda show? Did you watch that?
No, I don't think I did.
You didn't watch the Amanda show? How old are
your face just fell. I'm so sorry.
How old are you?
I am 23. I'll be 24 in less than a month.
Okay. You're not that much. You're a year or so younger than me. So I was going to say you're too young, but you're not. Go watch the Amanda show. Bring in the Dancing Lobsters. Totally Kyle. It's time for a hillbilly moment. There's a lot of things that low-key are applicable to NASCAR, so that's your homework, okay?
All right, putting on my watch list right now.
Please do. I'm sure that your co-host of Stock Car Scoop, Brian Nolan, is an Amanda Show connoisseur. I bet. I'll put money down on that.
Well, I'll check with him. I'll shoot him a text as soon as we're done.
Okay, please do. You mentioned the next-gen car and how that raced at Las Vegas. I agree with you, man. I was pleasantly surprised. And again, hand up, going into the season, I was a bit skeptical. In the off-season, I was a bit skeptical. After the Clash, after the 500, I still was a bit skeptical. Even after Fontana, it's a limited sample size, right? But I think as we start to see this car and how it performs on multiple different track types, we've had a quarter-mile bullring, a 2.5-mile super speedway, a 2-mile D-shaped oval. Now we have an intermediate about to go to a 1-mile borderline short track that hosts the championship race. It's performed well everywhere it's been. I think if it knocks it out of the park in Phoenix, I don't think it's too early or overstating it to say that this next-gen car, so far, has been a resounding success.
No, absolutely. And especially with Phoenix being the venue of the finale up in November, we'll kind of get a preview. The races are always night and day between the spring and the fall, especially last year with Phoenix being the championship site. But we'll kind of get a preview of how stuff races at Phoenix. And I think that'll be where I pinpoint my reaction to the car. And so far it's positive. It's overwhelmingly positive. Mm-hmm. And once we get to Phoenix, and honestly in the next month or so, because we'll have Circuit of the Americas in maybe a month, if I'm, my time window is right, we'll have Richmond and Martinsville. We'll knock out a couple short tracks, which I think we'll both be at Richmond. But yeah, it's we're kind of getting a little sample size of everything. The road courses, we'll get more of those later on in the season. And but as for the ovals, I'm thoroughly pleased.
You have a mix of a lot of different things with the next gen car. We've seen at Fontana champions, multiple time champions, spinning out and losing it by themselves. Have not seen that in years, literal years. We've seen champions side by side dueling for the race win. We haven't seen that for an extended period of time with high downforce, at least, where the drivers and the hardcore fans like me and you watching feel like this is really being decided by driver talent. Haven't seen that in years, literal years. I don't think that I'm overstating that either. I just feel like it's refreshing, Adam, because we've been drowned out with all this talk about the package and, oh, well, it's slot car racing and pedal to the floor. They have too much downforce. The cars are baked into the track. We're not talking about the package. Yes, we're talking about the new car, and not to be, you know, overly positive, but it's been hard to be overly positive the past couple years just because of the product that we've seen. It's been very roller coaster like. And right now, if we're riding the roller coaster, we're going up and we're not coming down. We're doing a couple loops to have fun, but that's what we're doing. We're having fun. I feel like the drivers are enjoying themselves a little bit more. The fans watching are enjoying themselves a little bit more. I'm sure the teams are being worked to death and they're really tired. But if that's what it takes to put a good product on the track, I bet you 99% of those team guys would take that.
No, absolutely. And I think one of the things that's kind of coalesced into such a bright outlook for the season is when I wrote NASCAR 101 last week, I discovered, looking back at Vegas stats, 7 different championship seasons since Vegas popped onto the schedule have ended in 7 of the championship seasons have featured a win at Vegas that kind of set these drivers off on that championship journey. Oh. And with kind of the new, I think 19 of the 24, either spring or solo Vegas winners have ended up in the top 5 in points at the end of the season.
Good nuggets.
And if you want to kind of apply that to this past weekend, Alex Bowman, not the biggest championship threat last season, but you see this, you know, parity's been the buzzword these first few weeks, obviously, but you see this kind of leveling off of the field a little bit. And mm-hmm. we saw Gibbs and Hendrick back at the front last week, which is what I expected given a normal track for the most part. But you also saw Ross Chastain up there. And again, Bowman, who wasn't a title threat to the nth degree last year, he was still
won 4 times.
He still won 4 times. And with that parity winning at Vegas, you know, it kind of makes me think he might be either be a title threat or at least, you know, top 4, top 5 when the season's over.
Look, I mean, if you're a Hendrick Motorsports car, you're a title threat when you roll off
That's
the truck.
Fair.
It's just
this
a matter of
fair.
Whether you can put it all together. And luck can go your way, circumstances, and you can perform when the time comes. So I definitely see what you're saying there. I'm intrigued as to who's going to run well out of the others this weekend at Phoenix, because it seems like Fontana had Reddick and Eric Jones was the big surprise that was running up front and contending for the race win there. Vegas, it was Ross Chastain. Daniel Suarez didn't have as fortunate luck as his teammate did, but Ross led the most laps that he has in a single race, more than he had in his entire Cup career combined in that one race. Obviously, they were getting ready to smash that watermelon, came up a little bit short, but if that's the sign of things to come, not just for Ross and for Trackhouse, but for the B to C level tier teams, and that's no disrespect to them, because nobody is Pendrick, Gibbs, and Penske, Gibbs, and Hendrick right now. No disrespect to them, but they have not been able to compete weekly with those guys. Judging with the first few weeks of the season, taking out the Clash and taking out Daytona, it seems like they are willing and able to be up there on pure speed and pure merit, which is a really, really good change.
Well, yeah, I think that's a huge part of what we've seen these last few weeks. Ross Chastain winning a stage, leading a ton of laps. Oh. Even at Fontana, Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones running up front, Tyler Reddick as well. Before he told me before the season, he thought Fontana was a good spot for him to get a win. He looked to be on track for that until things went south for him. And Suarez in the closing laps as well, he took the lead, and I thought he was going to run away with it before Larson ran him back down. But you see these teams that, I mean, Trackhouse didn't do terribly last year. Suarez had a solid first year for them. They acquired Chip Ganassi Racing's cars and assets and everything, and you bring in the next-gen car, and suddenly they look like a contender for possibly both playoff spots, which I'm pretty confident. I think they're both going to get wins this year. And 23XI hasn't been running terribly. Bubba Wallace's day went south at Vegas thanks to his it's weird to say it, but great reflexes and crashing himself rather than crashing into Eric Jones, which would have been terrible. But Jones was having a solid day too before he ended up having issues as well. So I think we're going to see a lot of that 23-11. I keep saying 23XI, Trackhouse, some of those teams, Petty GMS. Ties seems to have needed some more time to settle into the 42, but Jones seems to have had a really good couple of weeks in the 43. So I think we'll see some of them get wins this year, for sure.
Great weekend out in Vegas. Great weekend of racing. Have you ever been to Vegas, Adam?
I have not. The furthest west I've been is Chicago.
Wow. Got to get out there. But I do not want you and Brian to go out there together. That would be bad news.
Yeah, it probably would be. It probably would be.
Speaking of money, we got to pay some bills. Stick around, though. We'll be right back on the Front Stretch Pod. The Front Stretch Podcast today is brought to you in part by Sousa Media. You already know it's owned and operated by Kyle Sousa, who services over 25 clients with social media management, website services, press releases, marketing, branding, whatever you could think of. Sousa Media has got you covered. If you're three-time Wheel and Modified Tour champ Justin Bonsignor, or six-time champ and SRX winner Doug Kobe, what about short track ace Derek Griffith? Or Patrick Emmerling, new Xfinity team owner, even tracks like Seekonk and Star Speedway, Sousa Media has them covered, so why don't you get covered by them as well? You can learn more about Sousa Media by visiting them on Facebook, kylesouza.com, kylesouza.com. Let's throw it over to my interview with Las Vegas Motor Speedway winner of the Pennzoil 400, Alex Bowman. You know, he is the luckiest guy in all of NASCAR, apparently. I asked him about that, if he truly is the luckiest guy, what he thought of Kyle Busch's heat-of-the-moment post-race comments, if they have spoken since, plus about the T-shirts. You got to crank out those T-shirts right after you win those races. They did that once again for great, great causes. You guys know about the Alex Bowman curse? If you don't, we'll tell you about it, and he is aware of it, so we'll get his take on that. Plus, we obviously talk about the next-gen race car, how he's adjusting to it, and how he thinks that's going to play going to his home track of Phoenix Raceway this upcoming weekend. So I'll shut up and get out the way and let you hear our chat with Hendrick Motorsports' Alex Bowman. Pleasure to welcome on to the show today a repeat guest on the Front Stretch Pod, and he is the most recent race winner in the NASCAR Cup Series, the luckiest man in NASCAR, Alex Bowman. How the heck are you, you damn hack?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. You were just telling me that your dog, Finn, is by your feet, so if we see some rustling or hear anything, we know the culprit.
Yeah, he just moved, so he's probably going to get something to lay in my lap that he wants me to play with. He's going to get some, he's got ropes and tires and all kinds of stuff around the house. So Roscoe's laying on the couch. Yeah, there's stuff going on back there. He's throwing stuff. It's going to be an interesting hour of media here, but we're doing it.
You got to get quicker with the t-shirt response time. I got to say, Martinsville, you guys got it done in like 10 minutes, and this one took like almost a full day. So step it up, please.
Yeah, there was a lot more design work in this one than there was just a t-shirt that said hack on the front of it. But yeah, just pretty cool to be able to donate 18% of that to a local animal shelter. And it's going to end up being a lot of money. So pretty neat.
Yeah, definitely really cool. I want to touch on something else with that race specifically, but before we do that, I want to go to something that your crew chief, Greg Ives, tweeted after the race, and he basically was talking about how selfless you are. You donated 22 clocks to the team, guys, after you won Martinsville last year, donated the rest of that to animal shelters. Obviously, 18% of these t-shirts are going towards great causes as well. Was that something that, I mean, clearly you didn't really expect any recognition for because you didn't put it out anywhere publicly? But is that just a testament to your relationship with the team guys in the sense of they are genuinely your friends and they just happen to work on your race car and you wanted to show your appreciation for them?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think you can't call me selfless. I am a race car driver, so I'm inherently selfish. But, you know, I think we sold way more hack shirts than I ever thought was possible. And, you know, the Martinsville clocks is a pretty special trophy. A lot of the team guys wanted them and they're pretty expensive. So I felt like it was one of those deals where I was able to do it. You know, something kind of extracurricular. You don't think you're going to end up with that many t-shirt sales out of nowhere. So we were able to do that. And that was really cool. You know, I think it meant a lot to those guys. And yeah, it wasn't something that I wanted recognition for. I just wanted to be able to do that for those guys. So glad to be able to make that happen. And then we had a little bit left over, so able to throw that at an animal shelter as well.
Did you know that you're the luckiest guy in NASCAR, apparently? You must have a golden horseshoe somewhere.
Yeah, apparently. I think I've come to the realization that I could probably win a championship and still not get any credit for it. So you know, it is what it is. And I think, you know, while we have had some races go our way and fall our way at the end, a lot of other guys could have taken two tires as well. So, I'm just glad that Greg made the right call. And, you know, I think we put ourselves in position to have that go our way as well. So, just happy to come away from it with a trophy.
What is it about you? I mean, you have the hack comment after Martinsville, what Kyle said after this, nobody likes us anyway after Richmond, Dover, whatever it was. You're like the most unassuming, chill vibes type of driver, but everybody just seems to get rattled whenever you beat them. I don't know what it is. Do you know what it is?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, couple things. Like, I understand Denny being mad after Martinsville. I think he got way overly personal about it, but I think I get him being mad. And Kyle, he texted me last night and I totally understand him just being mad losing that race after everything they went through that weekend. So you know, I get it, but I'm also gonna make a t-shirt if I can and have a little fun with it.
Yeah, as you should. You don't have to share too much if you don't want, but can you share what Kyle said to you or something along those lines?
Just that it was no disrespect and that he was just mad that he lost the race and that he was pissed off about it. You know, I think he's going to win that race if the caution doesn't come out, right? And and caution comes out and he doesn't win that race. So I think he's situationally mad. You know, we see Kyle Busch get mad here and there, right? That's just him and his personality. And he took it out on me. And I think, you know, Kyle, whatever anybody's opinion of Kyle is, him and I have raced each other with a lot of respect for a long time and never had any run-ins with each other, raced each other super clean. So I think, you know, it was just the heat of the moment. He's mad at the situation and I'm the one with the trophy. So therefore he's voicing his anger at me for a minute.
Understandable. Are you aware of the curse, the Alex Bowman curse? Are you aware?
Oh, I'm very aware. So Las Vegas Motor Speedway is a pretty great racetrack. Hopefully, not sure how they would reconfigure and or close down or take a race away.
Or
hopefully
decrease the mileage.
I'm all for shorter races.
Me too. And you did that for Martinsville, so good job.
Yeah. So I'm all good with that. So yeah, maybe I should just win everywhere so we could be shorter races everywhere. I think it would be good for everybody.
Go ahead. Everybody will still find a way to hate you. And for those that are not, you know, up to speed on what we're talking about, anywhere that Alex wins, something negative happens. Chicagoland, we know what happened there. Auto Club, reconfigured to a short track, allegedly. Pocono, lose the doubleheader, lose the second date, whatever. Dover, a lot of rumors swirling around that racetrack. Richmond, get rid of the playoff race. Then we had Martinsville, and now we have Las Vegas. So I don't know if you partied too hard in Vegas, or maybe that's an omen for what you're going to lose next time you get out there money-wise, but I'm just saying, there seems to be a pattern following your success, so don't say I didn't tell you so.
Yeah, maybe it's just because everybody's so mad that we won, but I don't know. I actually didn't party out there at all. We had a couple day chasers there in Victory Lane, and then we ran out of day chasers, unfortunately. I don't think that'll ever happen again. We'll be way more stocked up going forward. After that, I came home, went to bed, woke up, and went and worked out. So not a lot of partying. I think, you know, we've struggled so much at Phoenix in the past that my mind was already on Phoenix. I just want to go there and run well so badly that we're pretty fixated on that right now.
Well, let's chit-chat about that. It's your home racetrack. I know you always want to have successful race weekends out there. How do you approach Phoenix? There's a lot of talk about whether or not guys are going to be able to cut the dog leg with the rear diffuser. Do you know how you're going to approach this race overall the first time with the next-gen car in competition there?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. The dog leg is a big question mark for all of us. I can't see it going well with this race car. Just really unforgiving and honestly a bit tough to drive down the straightaway compared to the old car without any load on it. So I'm not sure if you can get through there without crashing, honestly. So we'll just have to wait and see, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a great racetrack and fans are always great out there, so excited to go to our home race.
I'm sure it's probably not what it once was when you first raced there, but you got family and friends that come out every time you go out to Phoenix?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think as I've gotten to drive better race cars, I think that the crowd has gotten bigger for us, and that's been really cool. Definitely some added pressure going there, and like I said, I want to run well there more than anywhere else in the world, so that's the two most important races of the year for us, and we struggled for a long time, so hopefully we can get it turned around there.
And last but not least, you got best friends on the race car this upcoming weekend, right? You're making a lot of best friends on the racetrack. Might as well put it on your race car too for a good cause.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, kind of going similar to what we did last year, donating $4,800 a week to a local animal shelter, and you know, partnered up with Best Friends and an Ally to do that. And going to Phoenix, we ran the Best Friends scheme last year, so we're doing it again this year. Should be pretty cool. Gonna go visit a local shelter on Friday and have a bunch of fun there. So excited about that. They've been really great to work with, and you know, anything we can do to raise money to help animals and shelters and animals in need, it's really cool.
We're here for that. We're here for you, and we appreciate your time here today, my friend. Thank you so much for your honesty, for your candor, and hopefully you don't bring too much more bad luck to your home racetrack, because that wouldn't be good for anyone.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
You got it, man. Have a good one. Checkered Flag is out on the podcast this week. Big, big thank you to Alex for the time on a busy, busy week, a busy media tour day for the defending winner at Las Vegas. And thank you to his PR rep, Jarrett Arneson, who got his first win as a PR rep. Congrats to you, Jarrett. Brent Gamble of NASCAR and Hendrick Motorsports as well. Always appreciate them working with us and giving us their time on the Front Stretch Pod this week. Adam, we got Phoenix this weekend. It's obviously a huge race for multiple reasons. How's the dog leg going to work with that rear diffuser? What do we think the resin's going to do with the next-gen car? But most importantly, we know that this is the site of the championship race come November. But you mentioned the track conditions are going to be so vastly different. And also, we know that teams hit on certain things at certain points of the year. So I don't know if we're going to be able to take a whole lot from this weekend's race and necessarily apply it to the championship weekend that we see come November. But there are some things that you'll probably be able to take away. I think the one thing that I'm looking at is to the resin and how that's going to work with this next-gen car, considering at the Clash, Daytona, Fontana, and Vegas, we haven't really had it.
No, absolutely. And there's a couple of things I have my eye on going in that one's going to be consistent between now and Phoenix, most likely, and the other's not. The one that's not is the attitudes, because you're going in, rather than the championship mindset, you're going in with kind of let's still see how this thing works mindset. And I'm curious to see how the race plays out, if some of those, you know, not lesser teams, but B and C level teams, like you said, are going to be running up front, the Chastains, the Suarez's, the Bubba Wallace's, Kurt Busch. But the thing I'm curious about is we saw a week ago at Fontana, Ross Chastain's car bottomed out, which sent him into the wall. I'm kind of curious as to how the dogleg at Phoenix is going to work with that, because we obviously had testing there. And I'm kind of curious as to how that's going to impact these cars being so low to the ground. If you have a flat tire, you can't go anywhere.
I don't think they're going to use it, Adam, because you know how important that rear diffuser is and you know how low that sits to the ground. Those things, A, cost a lot of money. B, are very, very valuable to the handling and the well-being of the race car, the limited parts and pieces that they already have. I mean, it's one thing if, you know, it's a green, white checker restart, you got to dive down there to gain some spots. But these guys are not going to be doing that in the first and second stage. I just don't think that they can afford to do it.
Okay. I could see a couple of guys here and there taking that risk, you know, seeing what happens.
But I don't see them doing it until the closing stages of the race, honestly. Even for a green-white checker, like, they'll probably do it then. But even so, I think you still risk destroying that part of the car. And if you do, then that's a really valuable piece to replace. And even though the West Coast swing at that point will be over, it's still a big part of the car. So I don't think that people are going to use it nearly as much as we think. I mean, we'll see it for ARCA trucks and Xfinity, but I don't think the Cup guys are going to be diving down like we're used to.
Yeah, you bring up that good point. I hadn't thought of that, but because we see that, so you're so used to seeing it now that they paved the back of Phoenix. Well, now the front stretch of Phoenix. I'm still not completely used to that 180 they did, but I'm curious to see how far down they're going to go. I agree that I don't think we'll see the cars diving a football field below the racing line to get to turn three faster than someone else.
That's turn one.
But that's a good point. Turn one, something. But you know what? That's a good point. I'm interested to see how that plays out.
Yeah. I wonder who's going to be good this week out of the others. I mean, we haven't mentioned this guy's name all show. Eric Almirola, the only driver to have a top 10 in every points-paying race this season. He finished sixth at Daytona, or maybe fifth at Daytona, I think, and then sixth at Fontana, sixth at Las Vegas. Nobody's talking about him. And I'm sure he's fine with that, because he likes to fly under the radar. This is his last full-time season. He's not expecting any fanfare or any parting gifts like Coach K is. But Eric Almirola is quietly one of, if not the most consistent driver right now. I understand it's a limited sample size, and Eric Almirola is not a championship favorite, but you can't argue with results. And what the results are showing right now is that AA is killing the game.
Yeah, he got that win in New Hampshire last year, so it's not just he wins at Super Speedways kind of deal. And he's been better than all of his Stewart Haas teammates. And it's understandable that everyone is still getting used to the car, but Cole Custer hasn't made a whole lot of noise so far this year. Chase Briscoe's actually had a couple of good runs that were derailed by bad luck, like last week in Vegas. Kevin Harvick is still kind of somewhat of a hangover from last year.
He's been okay. He's been fine, but he hasn't been the Kevin Harvick we're accustomed to seeing pre-2021.
And I'm sure that frustration carried over a little bit from last season, not being able to win. But Eric Almirola, final year, I could see him getting a win. You know, you factor in the leveling of the playing field somewhat between these cars. You know, usually he's probably second at Stewart Haas last year behind Harvick in terms of performance overall, but I could see that 10 rolling into victory lane. We talked about it on that Christmas special about how many winners we thought we were going to see this season. I said like, I think I said like 20, and I'm still sticking with that. That's what
I'm thinking. Ridiculous take. I think there's going to be 20 winners. Okay, I'll set the over-under at 15.5. You taking the over?
Yes.
No way. There's no way, dude. No way. I understand that there's parity and there's new guys that are running up front, but you think Kyle Larson is not going to win more than two or three times in the regular season?
I think he's going to win a few. I think he's going to win a few. I don't think it's going to be 10. It's probably going to be 4 or 5.
What about like Kyle, Truex, Chase? These guys are going to win multiple times.
I don't know.
I didn't even mention any Penske drivers.
And Blaney, I rode into the season with a lot of confidence on Ryan Blaney, given his kind of resurgence after last season. I think he gets a few wins. Logano kind of had a rough year last year.
I'm taking the under, man. Give me the under.
All right. Let's see what happens.
Do you want to bet a free Media Center dinner at Richmond next year or whatever playoff race that there is when we go into it together? Let's bet a free Media Center dinner.
Let's do it.
Okay. Odds, courtesy of Caesars Sportsbook in association with William Hill, are actually posted, but the matchups that we usually do each week on the pod are not posted. So, Adam, I'm going to free ball it right now and give you some off-the-cuff matchups. We're going to probably focus on the teammates, but how this works, you know, it's head-to-head, driver versus driver, whoever finishes higher, rapid fire. Are you ready, Adam Cheek?
Yes, I am ready.
We got Phoenix on the deck, Kyle Larson, the last winner at Phoenix Raceway, Chase Elliott. Who will finish better out of the Hendrick Motorsports duo?
Kyle Larson.
Agreed. Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin.
I'm going to go Kyle.
I will go Kyle as well. How about Alex Bowman and, as he's listed here, Will Byron?
Bowman.
I'll go Byron just to be a little bit different. But as Bowman said, his home track, he's looking forward to it, seeing some friends and family. He obviously wants to go back-to-back there. How about Joey Logano versus Ryan Blaney of Team Penske?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think I'll side slightly with Blaney.
Okay. How about Brad Keselowski versus Kevin Harvick?
Harvick. I think Brad's still settling in at RFK.
Yeah. Brad's a slight underdog in that de facto matchup as I'm making it up on the fly here. I'll go with the Cactus King, Kevin Harvick, as well. Tyler Reddick or Kurt Busch?
Reddick. I think he gets a win at this season and soon.
Yeah, me too. I think he should have won Fontana. I think he will win in the next month or so. I think it's inevitable at this point. Definitely in the season. We'll see. It's possible. It really
He talked
possible.
About Coda. I could see him winning Coda.
Yeah, he's a wheelman, and this next-gen car fits wheelman. How about Austin Dillon versus Bubba Wallace?
Dillon, he's impressed me so far, I think.
RCR is good this year.
Yeah.
How about Ricky Stenhouse Jr. versus Daniel Suarez?
Suarez. I'm high on Trackhouse.
They are even in the matchup odds, so I will go with Suarez as well. Let's go down. I like to make money on like the back marker guys because I feel like – people that bet NASCAR casually don't know those guys. Like last week, there was a bet, Greg Biffle or Daniel Hemric. It's like you hammer Hemric all day. Biffle with New York Racing, like they can't finish a race. They haven't proven that they can. So if you bet Hemric, you won big. So let's go down to the back markers. Are you taking Corey LaJoy or are you taking BJ McLeod?
I think I'm going to lean LaJoy here.
I will too. What about Josh Bilicki or Cody Ware?
Cody Ware.
Yeah, me too.
Good run of the agreement. Coliseum.
We're in agreement on a lot of matchups, but I like to make my money. If I were to bet, I would do it responsibly, which I actually don't really bet. But I would do it on the back markers or like, you know, so-and-so to get a top 10 finish or so-and-so to finish in the top five. See, if and when you go to Vegas without Brian Nolan, you can make these bets and do it so responsibly, Adam.
Yeah, I could do that responsibly as long as Brian's not there.
Yes, that's right.
No offense to Brian.
All the offense to Brian. Let's be real.
Yes.
since you don't watch the Amanda Show, I know you got that coming up for you this week, but what else can we expect from you in terms of the website content and with Stock Car Scoop coming this week?
Well, we got the Scoop coming on Friday morning. Brian and I will talk about Phoenix. And then on Sunday, we'll talk about Phoenix and what we see at where the championship's going to be held in like 8 months. Not sure if I'm doing the recap yet. I don't think I am, but hopefully have a Beyond the Cockpit soon. I talked to Bobby Dotter a couple of weeks ago, after a week and a half ago, after SS Greenlight got their very first win at Fontana. And great interview. Great guy to talk to. It's a really interesting background in NASCAR. So hopefully that's coming a little bit soon.
Can't wait to see what you got cooking up, and can't wait to see what you got on the scoop. When, how long have you been calling it the scoop? I like that.
I don't know. I think it was called that when I joined starting last year.
Well, I know it was Stock Car Scoop, but I didn't know if people were calling it the scoop.
No, but we should start yelling that at the beginning of every show.
You should.
We should do that.
Brian Nolan, welcome on into the scoop. I'm Brian Nolan with your host, Adam Cheek. It'll be great.
Yes, I'm on board with that.
Well, hopefully we have given you guys the scoop today. And Adam, I appreciate you hopping on to give those listeners the scoop on all things NASCAR in Las Vegas and Phoenix, my friend. Thanks for hopping on.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to give everyone the scoop.
And sorry about Russell Wilson and your Seahawks.
Yeah, it happened on the day that I happened to wear the Seahawks quarters, if I have. And
happened like an hour before we hopped on Zoom to record.
Yeah, it's something I was in denial about for a while. It happens.
This is like your Jordan flu game.
Yes, yeah, it's like Chris Bryant last year, too. You know what? I hope he wins a Super Bowl in Denver. I hope DK and Lockett go there, too, and it becomes the new Seahawks. Screw it. Sure, why not? But thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I mean, at least you got a good team name. We're the Commanders.
So. I would have preferred to go there and Heineke go to Seattle. I like Heineke a lot.
Heineke, he can give you the scoop. Anyways, yes, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. Thank you guys for listening to the Front Stretch Podcast this week. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review there. You can also get us on Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. We should be available there for your consumption. And as a reminder, the same feed that this Front Stretch Podcast drops, you can get Stock Car Scoop on the same feed. So please be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. You'll be scooping and you'll be podding. Until next week, we have a guest from Richard Childress Racing coming on the show. Little teaser, I'll let you simmer on that one. For Adam Cheek, I am Davey Siegel, and for everybody else here at frontstretch.com, we wish you a happy weekend. Enjoy the racing at Phoenix, and we will catch you on the flip side.